Pride is the root of all sin. It's the root of Satan's fall. Isaiah chapter 14, Satan said, "I will, I will, I will," and he rose against God. We are reminded in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. We should know that. God sees pride in our heart, and he hates it greatly, because when it comes out through our eyes, it has germinated and began to grow, and we become unattractive and are ugly. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that verse actually is a quote of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Pride is like weeds in our garden. We despise them. They're ugly. Pride in our lives is the ugliest thing that a Christian can show. When pride shows up in our lives, it's, I want my way, period. Why can't we do it my way? Please, don't ever play at your funeral Frank Sinatra or Elvis singing, I did it my way. That's pride. That's a sin that God despises. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Substitute humility in place. May your eyes show humility and not pride. So the first thing that God hates is the proud look. What do your eyes say about you? Do they reveal humility or pride? The second thing is a lying tongue. Nothing is more sacred than truth. Nothing is more necessary to our conversations with anybody about anything than speaking the truth. God and all good men should hate and abhor lying. A liar neither loves nor tells the truth. A liar speaks falsehood. A liar speaks to defraud others with their words. They give disinformation for the purpose of their own pleasure. Lying is common. Early on in my ministry, I realized that people even lie to preachers. I didn't realize that was possible. Pastor, I'll see you in church. Do you realize you just lied to a preacher? People lie to their teachers. People lie to their bus drivers. Hey, sit down. I am sitting down. You liar. Sit down. We have to be careful when we trade used cars. You know, you've heard the old story, you know, the most dishonest person is a used car salesman. I beg to differ. I think there is a trade that's even worse than that. Timeshare salesman. I got friends that are used car salesmen. I think they're nice people. Lying. Where does lying come from? John 8:44. The devil is a liar from the beginning. The devil lied to Eve, and therefore a whole chain of lies has taken place. Our world is full of lies. Satan is a liar. Are there any lies of Satan that we believe? We need to examine our own hearts. God hates it when we believe lies. God hates it when we tell lies. Do we always speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And when we speak the truth, are there times we need to speak it in love? Do we speak the truth? Do we love the truth? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or are we caught up in any of the lies of Satan? We need to examine ourselves. Are there any lies that we believe? Our world is full of lies. The third one. And hands that shed innocent blood, whether by murder or by battery, the bloodthirstiness of people. Again, John 8:44. I think it's up on the screen. You are of your father, the devil. and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He is a murderer from the beginning. Where do you think murder comes from? The devil was, from the beginning, a liar and a murderer. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood go together. In both of them, God sees the devil's image, and the person is doing the service of the devil. Tradition says that Pilate, Scripture tells us that Pilate washed his hands of the blood of Jesus at his trial. Tradition says that when he was exiled, it is believed he spent the rest of his life still trying to wash his hands of the blood of Jesus. He couldn't get Christ's blood off. We live in a culture of death. We made it through the 20th century. It was believed at the beginning of the 20th century that the 20th century was going to bring holiness and righteousness upon the earth. In fact, it was called the Christian century, and yet the 20th century was the most brutal century of all history. More people were murdered, more innocent lives were lost in the 20th century. Everything from Stalin to Hitler. Hitler killed 6 million Jews. I even watched a program last night on public television about the Holocaust. 6 million Jews. Innocent blood was shed. What's more innocent than the unborn? You realize here in America, since 1973, we have taken 10 times that many lives through abortion. That's our own Holocaust. There are laws on the books today that were even written this past year that allow it up through birth. It was cheered in New York. I saw a video here a few weeks ago where it basically stated, and I couldn't even watch it in its entirety, that abortion is Satan's blood sacrament. We should be horrified by that.
Say that again.
Abortion is Satan's blood sacrament. We should be horrified by that. Roe versus Wade, 47 years ago. This past week, there was a big march in Washington, D.C. that the media did not tell you about. President Trump was there and spoke. First time a sitting president ever did. Franklin Graham was there, along with several hundred thousand other people. Praise the Lord for people that stand up for life. Our own Governor Reynolds is pro-life, and she has proposed a constitutional amendment to the Iowa Constitution, pro-life. Our two sitting senators are pro-life. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And hands that shed innocent blood. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Are our hands clean? I was reminded the other day on the way to the doctor's office, the street that we went down, I asked my wife, I says, wasn't there a Planned Parenthood clinic here? And she said, yes, there was. It's no longer here. Praise the Lord. Monday night, I drove a bus trip for Seidel basketball team to Perry. And when you walk in the Perry High School entrance, on the wall are glass-enclosed cases of the copies of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. I thought that was great. And I read again in the Declaration of Independence where our founding fathers said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hallelujah for our founding fathers. They valued innocent life. God hates it when hands shed innocent blood. Do we hate that as well? number 4 follows right along. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Sin always starts in the heart, and actions start with plans. The wicked spend time creating sin. They think through sin to maximize its impact. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. We often quote verse 9, but we need to quote verse 10. Verse 9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Verse 10. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." We see hearts that devise wicked plans. We see in our communities people in school hallways scheming, neighbors selling drugs, or the sex trafficking that takes place around us. It takes place in corporate offices where people in business suits get paid big money to draw out and to strategize and market sin, whether it's in movies or music or the game industry. How bad can they make sin appear good and make more money off of it? Whether it's profanity, sex, or violence. You can do a history of American culture, and you can go back to 1963. 1963, in June of 1963, the Supreme Court, in a decision 8-1, threw out prayer and Bible reading in school. Do you think that had any impact upon our culture? Of course it did. A heart that devises wicked plans. 10 years later, you have Roe v. Wade, where they threw out life. That decision was 7-2. Hallelujah for two judges who disagreed with it. And then you fast forward to just 2015, where the Supreme Court threw out marriage. A 5-4 decision. Iowa was ahead of that. They did that in 2010. In 2015, it was required that all states grant same-sex marriage. It said at that time that the state had no interest in marriage at all. It didn't matter to the state what marriage was. They made that decision contrary to their precedent because they forgot their own history. Do you realize that for 50 years, the territory of Utah tried to become a state, but were rejected for nearly 50 years because of their view on marriage. And it was only after they got rid of polygamy could they become a state. The United States of America does have an interest in marriage. God hates the scheming devices of wicked plans. Do we hate them too? List keeps going. Verse 18 again, the fifth one. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Sinners like to run as fast to sin as they can. The sooner the better. They're afraid of losing time. Impatient in the delay of sins of which they're greedy of. In fact, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I already addressed this. My son, do not walk in the way of them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Sadly, oftentimes sinners are faster at doing sin than we, the righteous, are doing righteousness. Again, I'm a school bus driver. It always amazes me. Kids can run after school. Right after school, they'll run right outside, grab a snowball, and snow it and throw it at somebody. They'll get on the bus and complain about something. Come on, guys. I remember when I was in the Twin Cities. For a while, I drove a bus route that included a Catholic school route. What do you think Catholic kids are like? They were nice and orderly as they walked out to the bus. single file. And when they got on the bus, all purgatory broke loose. Couldn't get them home fast enough. Feet that run rapidly to evil. Within minutes of the Iowa Supreme Court decision in 2010, some couples went out and got married. Same thing in 2015. The fastness of the speed creates addiction. The alcoholic, the drug addict, the porn addict, the child, and the spouse abuser. They're always in a hurry. God hates the passion for sin. Can we run equally fast to righteousness? Keeps going. Verse 19. A false witness who utters lies. Speaks about court situations. It's the obvious interpretation. The worst thing that can happen in court is for injustice to prevail, and injustice prevails when truth is not spoken. Lies break down a judicial system. Even a good judge and a good jury sometimes cannot get around lies. In God's top 10 commandments, number 9 is, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. God hates a false witness. God hates lies. Again, are there any lies that we believe that Satan has given to us? And are there any lies that we repeat? It should be within our nature as Christians to naturally speak the truth. I hope it is. But we live in a world of lies. It's easy to fall prey to that. And then finally, number 7. Six, yes, 7. This is the one the author really wants us to pay attention to. Not that the others were unimportant. The others are very important. The other ones build up to this one. Of all the things that we should not have an issue with, it's this last one. But it's the one that strikes the closest to home, oftentimes. Spreading strife amongst the brothers. And one who spreads strife among the brothers. The 7th is the main one in this combination. Culmination of the previous 6. This is the worst because it involves God's chosen people. The rest we can look and say, well, that's what the world is like. That's not us. This one is addressed to us, as well as the others. All too often there is strife among the brothers, whether it's in families or in church. Unresolved conflicts. People refuse to be open and honest. In fact, they're too open and too hostile. And oftentimes what destroys families and what destroys churches from the inside out, it's this one right here. We spread strife amongst the brothers. This sin is the most terrible because it is the one that we can easily avoid and address. People spread strife through lies and misrepresentation, lack of love, pride, selfishness, slander. Satan delights in discord. God is a God of love, and God is a God of peace. And Jesus, in the upper room discourse, in the conversation he had with the disciples, in John chapter 13, verses 34, he says this, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This has been considered the 11th commandment. It should be the one that we should be the most passionate to do amongst ourselves. Love one another. Oftentimes churches are destroyed, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Do we have love for one another? Worst of all, God hates it when his own people cannot get along in love and in grace. And his old people spread strife not love. His own people sow discord, not unity. His own people harm the testimony that we have in the grace of God. And I say this next line somewhat with some humor in it, but I am serious. To me, the greatest miracle about going to heaven is not how are we going to get there, what are we going to look like when we're there, what are we going to do for all of eternity. To me, the greatest miracle is how in the world is God going to pull off us getting along together for all of eternity. There's no heaven splits, okay? There's going to be no discord. We're going to be just fine. How is God going to pull it off? He will pull it off because He's God. And it'll be just fine. So there you have seven deadly sins. You can't miss them. Our world can't miss them, and yet they do. We should be able to look at this list and look at our life and say, okay, now I don't want to have the proud look. I want to speak the truth. I want to make sure my hands are innocent of blood. I want to make sure my heart's right. I want to make sure I'm running fast to doing what's good. I want to make sure that I'm always speaking truth. And I respect and care for one another, my friends. Seven deadly sins that God completely abhors. Do we hate them as well? Sin is sin and it's deadly. Even when disguised and legalized, even when made politically correct, sin is still sin. Let's please not redefine it. Let me close with a story, personal story. Let me circle back to number three. Let me show you a picture. Please don't laugh. That's yours truly and his wife and daughter in 1983. That was at my ordination, April of 1983. I sure miss my hair.
Is that actually considered an afro or not?
It is. It is. It is. This white honky guy has an afro. That's our daughter, Holly. She was 2 years old. 2 months after this picture was taken, Holly was in a playground accident, and she was hit by a wooden swing, and it busted her jaw. And so her teeth were like that. And we were told to go off to the University of Wisconsin-Madison Hospital to take care of her. And so off we went, two scared parents and their cute little daughter with a broken jaw, and off to Madison, Wisconsin we went. And we spent a little over a week at that hospital. University of Wisconsin-Madison Hospital is one of the best hospitals in America. We had the honor and privilege of having one of the best surgeons, we believe, in America that did her surgery. In fact, we found out later that this surgeon, Dr. David DeBell was his name, him and a crew of other doctors, a story was told about them on 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes rarely does positive stories. But that story with him was a positive story. He was a phenomenal doctor. So much so, when the whole thing was over with, and after our insurance paid the bill, there was some money left over that we owed, and he forgave it all. We didn't owe anything. Dr. David DeBell fixed Holly's jaw, straightened it out, put some wires in the bottom of it, had to fix the hinges that were up here, and then wired her mouth shut for about 6 weeks. So all that Holly could do was to drink milkshakes. For a two-year-old girl, chocolate milkshake, that was a pretty good deal. And so for 6 weeks, she drank these chocolate milkshakes, our cute little girl. I did put the other picture in there to show you what Holly looks like today. Well, after the 6 weeks were over with, we were to take her back to the University of Madison, Wisconsin Hospital, Ambulatory Surgical Center, to have the wires removed. And Jen and I still remember that fairly well. Large reception area, we were in there, and I wasn't paying much attention to what was going on, but Jeanette caught an ear. A woman walked in and said out loud, where do I go to get an abortion? And here we are playing with this little 2-year-old girl. And I'm paying attention to her, and Jeanette looks around the room and notices there's a price list on the wall of how much it costs per trimester for abortions. Afterwards, we realized that that location was one of the major locations for abortions in Wisconsin. And then we began to realize who was in that room when we were there. Mostly young women. There's a few men, not very many at all. And we got thinking, wonder what they thought of us. Here we are, carefree, playing with this little cute little girl. And they're about ready to make their decisions. We have no idea if anything changed in anybody's life, but we wondered, what did they think of this little girl in the midst of what they're deciding to do? Wow. Here it was, a happy event for us that had a dark shadow cast over it because of the location of where we were. We were witnessing a modern-day Holocaust before our very eyes. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And be advocates to defund Planned Parenthood. Support their right to life. Before the Iowa legislature is a bill to put on the ballot a constitutional amendment that will read, and I got this up on the screen too, Governor Reynolds just proposed it. It's in the process. It has to go through the legislature for 2 years before it's brought to the ballot of the people. It says simply this: protection of life. To defend the dignity of all human life and to protect mothers and unborn children from effects, to expand abortion even to the day of birth. We, the people of the state of Iowa, declare that this Constitution shall not be construed to recognize, grant, or secure a right to abortion or to require public funding of abortion. I don't know about your direct knowledge of this crime against God, unborn women, and the families. Ours is limited. But we do know enough. And I thank my God that my parents were pro-life. Do you thank your parents that they were pro-life? I hope our kids thank us for being pro-life. And let's help succeeding generations have a pro-life passion as well. There's several passages of Scripture in the Bible that verify this. Pastor Brian read one. The story of Elizabeth and Mary in Luke chapter 1 is another one where Mary announces her pregnancy and the baby and Elizabeth's womb jump for joy. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord Jehovah said to the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." Hallelujah. God's pro-life. Pastor Brian, why don't you come on up? As he comes up, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that there are truths in your word that we cannot miss. Now, I realize people do miss it intentionally. I do realize that people look at this book and want nothing to do with it or consider it outdated. But Lord, we must look at this book and say it is life-changing, it is true, it's all-powerful. And therefore, we look at the words we read today and we heard today, and we testify, Lord, that you are indeed a God of righteousness and holiness. You are indeed a God who wants the very, very best for us. And we thank you, Lord, that in spite of our frailties and the culture we live in spite of the temptations around us, Lord, that we do have the power of the cross on our side. That the shed blood of Jesus does forgive all sins. And that the gospel of Jesus can change hearts and lives and families and churches and communities. Thank you, Lord, that your presence and your power has been ministered to us today. Thank you for the fact that we can worship together publicly today. Thank you, Lord, that you love us with a love unending for all of eternity. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.